Let's look at the book of Isaiah tonight. Pretty cool chapters. Isaiah the prophet has been not only a person that has taught me much about love, but also he's taught me how he knew the word of God. As a prophet, the way he allowed God to speak to him and that he would speak to the people. And in chapter 55 of Isaiah here, he starts out with something that is evangelical. He's speaking to the Jew, but this is speaking to the whole world. He starts out by saying this, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters," it says, "and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price." Here we see that the Spirit of God is sending out an invitation to anybody that wants to accept Christ, anybody that wants to become a believer. You also, in the book of Matthew chapter 11, 28 to 30, you have the call, "Come unto me, all of you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The invitation for anyone that wants to come to Christ. Now, why is it that people are constantly pointing the finger to Jesus? Like he didn't invite me to come to himself. You know, everybody is invited. The problem is not everybody wants to come. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man open the door to their hearts, I'll come in, sup with you, and you with me." 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ Jesus, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become brand new." Brand new. So this is a great invitation that is bringing to us here. Here Isaiah the prophet is coming to that place where he's providing salvation. Salvation even here in the Old Testament. And salvation is not only to the Jew, but for the whole world. For the whole world to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then he says again, notice verse 2. He says, "Why do you spend money for what is not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And let your soul delight itself in abundance." Now here, he's talking about not only, you know, the invitation that the Lord gives, but he's given again to Israel. He's saying, "Look, you guys, pay attention to what I have to say to you." Because what God has been doing, he's been not only waiting for them, but they're wasting themselves by not coming to Christ. He has given them all the resources to come to Christ, just like us. I mean, how did you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You read the Bible, or somebody told you about it, or TV, or radio, or maybe a magazine. But somehow, somebody was praying for you. Just like people were praying for me. And then when time was ready, when the Lord had the perfect time, what did he do? He saved you. He saved me. He brought us to that place where not only he has received us, but we have received him. And as we receive him, then we not only have the excitement to tell others about Christ, and I know that not everybody wants to hear it. I've talked to people, it's like this, they don't want to hear it. When they don't want to hear it, I don't force myself upon them. I just, you know what? I shake my feet and I go somewhere else. You should never corner someone and force them to hear about Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one that brings people to Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one that convicts people to come to Christ and convicts us of sin. Of sin. You notice what he says here? "Listen carefully to me and eat what is good." What is he talking about? Spiritual food. The Word of God. That feeds our souls. Now, this brings up another point. How many people don't read the Bible? The Bible is spiritual food for your soul. People accept Christ, that's cool. They go to church, that's cool. But they never read the Bible. And I told you before, we've done this on Sunday morning, you know, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but how many people have ever read through the whole Bible, Genesis, Revelation? You can do that in 6 months. We try to do it twice a year. And if you read from Genesis to Revelation, you finish, you start again, or you want to start with Matthew, the New Testament, and then come to the Old Testament, that's fine too. But every one of us need to read the Bible every single day. Just like you eat every day. Spiritually, you need to feed yourself spiritually. If you don't, you're going to be a person that not only is walking away from God, but you're not going to have direction concerning God's perfect will. Why? Because God's perfect will is right here in the Word of God. He leads you. He guides you. He speaks to you through the Word of God. So here Isaiah wants to make sure that they understand. Look what he says, verse 3, incline your ear and come to me. Isn't that cool? The word here, to incline, is to extend or to stretch out your ear. To stretch out your ear. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. Revelations chapter 2 and 3, seven churches. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Then he says, again, hear and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. So here when he's talking about hearing, that is when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to hear what he wants us to do as we not only listen to him, but then he listens to us when we pray, when we converse with him. Man, the best conversation that I've ever had is when I'm praying to God. The best conversation is not thou or thee. I talk to them just regular, normal. I tell him my weaknesses. I tell him my problems. I tell him how much I love him. I tell him how weak I am. And I ask him, okay, Lord, how can you help me in these areas of my life? And then through the word of God, he speaks to my heart. I'm in the book of 1 Kings right now, reading about Solomon. Solomon was one of the most wealthy persons in the whole world. The whole world. And God put him on the throne. Solomon never had war. His father David did. But God says, I'm going to bless you. There's not going to be any war in your life. And you're going to build me my house. And so he built the house of God. And check this out. And you know what he did? He married too many women. But the first woman that he married was a woman from Egypt. Be you not unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. He broke God's covenant. 700 wives and 300 concubines. 1,000 women in his life. I don't know how he did it. I can barely make it with one. But think about Solomon. I mean, here is Solomon, the one that God has blessed. He's a millionaire, a billionaire. I mean, he has everything in life, and yet he was empty, trying to fulfill his life in marriages. And then his wives, check this out, you know, you marry an unbeliever, then his wives, you know what they did? They brought their gods into the house of God. They brought their gods. Think of each one of us individually here tonight. Do you have any gods in your home? Do your children have gods in your home? Many times people come in to counsel and say, well, we're having this thing in our home where we hear noises and we hear voices and there's things moving around. And I tell them, okay, you have a son, you have a daughter. Are they teens? Or who are they? I mean, what do you watch on television? What kind of music do you hear? All of a sudden you start finding, you know, all these things that are not really edifying, but they're secular and they're demonized. You know, and then what happens? You're being oppressed. Oppressed. And the only way to stop oppression is get rid of everything. Get rid of everything that is not of the Lord. If you really, really want to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. Because if you don't, you're only kidding yourself. You're not being honest with yourself. And then you see here again, here, and your soul shall live. Notice what he's saying here. Because he says, I will make an everlasting covenant with you. So here, the word covenant here is a legal binding obligation. A legal binding obligation. And when he talks about a covenant, remember the covenant that God made with Noah, with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob. All these covenants that we see in the Old Testament as we read the Old Testament. And then he says, the sure mercies of David, Israel returns back to the Lord. And they will receive all sure mercies that God wants to give to them if you return to me. God's always opened the door for anyone else to return to the Lord. If you know someone that's backslidden, pray for them. If you get to talk to them, say the door's open. God doesn't close the door. He keeps the door open. Verse 4. Indeed, Jehovah have given him, Christ, as a witness to the people. A leader and commander for the people. So here God has given the world what? Someone who can bear, notice, faithful testimony to what? To the truth. Right here, the word of God. Faithful to the truth. You have the truth. You be a faithful servant in speaking truth to people. Verse 5. Surely you shall call a nation you don't even know. And the Gentiles, nations, who do not know you shall run to you. Because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Notice the Gentile nations. Two will be able to share the benefits of the kingdom of God when the kingdom age comes. Isn't that cool? They're going to be able to benefit from it. And then verse 6. This is so cool. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Underline that verse, man. Seek the Lord, notice, while he may be found. You mean we're not going to be able to find him one day? He's talking here, the pathway of blessing lies in seeking God and forsaking sin. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. So here, he's actually giving people, if you call upon me, you shall be saved. Paul said that. So here he's not closing the door. He opens the door for anybody that wants to seek him will find him if you're open to receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then he says, verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way. So here are men who are acting contrary to God's character and to God's will. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. So here now God's call, notice this, involves a complete change of both lifestyle and heart. Lifestyle and heart. This is one of the major problems in the church today. There's no lifestyle changed, and the heart never changes. He says, remember Jeremiah 17? He says, the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, know your hearts. The heart is deceitful. God wants your heart fully, completely, by coming to repentance and being honest in truth with the word of God. With the word of God. That's why he says, seek ye the Lord. Then he says, notice, let the wicked again forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. I mean, what does the unrighteous man think? All kinds of dirty things, evil things. So here God is calling men to repent, men to come to Jesus Christ or to God and be in his perfect will. He says, let him return to the Lord. And he will have mercy on him. Isn't that cool? The grace of God. And to our God, for he will abundantly forgive. Underline that. He will abundantly forgive people that come to him. So here Isaiah is saying the promise of those who return to the Lord. God's not going to cast you off. When you return to the Lord, it's like the prodigal son. His father went out to meet him and made a big old feast for him. And his brother was mad because his father made a feast for his younger brother that had left. He said, I've been with you all your life and you didn't make a party for me. But he says, your brother was lost, but now he's been found. So awesome when people return to the Lord after going out into the world and getting beat up, never finding the truth. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. This is scripture we need to know. Notice this. Nor are your ways my ways. How many times are you trying to figure God out? Circle that verse. The next time you try to figure him out. But see, this is so cool because this is never more true today of the gospel for the plan of salvation. Because, you know, people say, well, how do you get saved? And they're trying to figure out this whole thing when it's the Holy Spirit that convicts you, the Holy Spirit draws you, and the Holy Spirit brings you to repentance. And then God gives you salvation. Look what else he says. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. God is saying, mind your own business. My thoughts than your thoughts. Don't try to argue or figure God out. Just say, okay, Lord, you're in charge. Whatever you want to do. Watch verse 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth, it makes it bring forth a bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Notice here, we find here what? The third cause of seeking the Lord. Changing our ways and our thoughts. And when you come to Christ, remember, all things become brand new. The way you think, the way you speak, the way you hear, the way you do things. You can't continue in your old lifestyle. That means what? Then you're not a Christian. No excuse. No one can remain the same when Jesus Christ touches your life. Nobody. Yeah, I understand when somebody comes to the Lord, it takes weeks, months, they make mistakes, they say things that they shouldn't say because they're young Christians, they're babies. But once you start reading the Word of God, you start praying, attending services, you're giving the Holy Spirit an opportunity to begin to bring you to maturity and to understand the Word of God and to have that conviction in your life. So that when you sit down with someone, and I've done this, you know, people listen to your conversations. How many times have people heard what they shouldn't hear? And it makes them stumble. Think about it. In your home, you're screaming, yelling, cussing, your next door neighbor hears you, and you go to church, and they know you go to church, you're a Christian, and they hear you with these four-letter language, you know, and saying all these things, and they go, whoa, man, what's that about? We need to walk very carefully, you guys. Honor the Lord. Worship the Lord. Then he says, verse 11, so shall my word, notice, be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I send it. Isn't that heavy? God's word will fulfill the purposes of God. The word of God goes into a person's heart. The Word of God draws people near to the heart of God. That's what he's talking about here. So if that is true, then how much more should we listen to the heart of God in our lives? Verse 12, for you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Notice that. So here, the word for here is the final word that is used in Isaiah here. It introduces now the fourth reason here for listening to Jehovah God and also setting free each one of us individually from sin. Look what he says, for you shall go out with joy and be led out of earth with peace. We used to be in bondage. We used to be at war with God. But when you come to Christ, what do you receive? You receive the peace of God that passes all understanding. The Bible says that. Verse 13. Instead of thorns, remember how your life was? Instead of thorns shall come up cypress trees. Instead of briars shall come up myrtle trees. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Notice this. The Lord's redemption by delivering each one of us from sin. From sin. I love what he says here. Because each one of us individually need eternal life. We need to know God intimately in our lives. And then he goes into chapter 56. He says, thus saith the Lord. Now when he says, thus saith the Lord, you better pay attention. In the New Testament, Jesus says what? Barely, barely, I say unto you. Pay attention. Thus saith the Lord. Keep justice and do righteousness. For my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. So here he's talking not only for the future, but here he's talking that people are to keep justice and do what's right in preparing their hearts and be free from sin and accept the promises of Jehovah God. He's talking here to who? To Israel. And that God's going to send Cyrus, the king, to deliver Israel. Verse 2, blessed or happy is the man who does this, and the son of man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Notice what he says here. From any evil. Do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, here I am, a dry tree. So here, when he talks about the briars here, he's talking about this thing that is important, separating not only yourself, but when he says here, who has joined himself to the Lord, you know, we want to not only be joined to the Lord, but think of all the people that want to be separated from the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, notice the word of Jehovah again in verses 4 and 5 here, indicating that now he sees fit to accept eunuchs. Remember, in the law, they wouldn't accept eunuchs. They wouldn't accept them. But here he says, for thus saith the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, and choose what pleases me, and hold fast my covenant. Even to them, the eunuchs, I will give in my house, and with my walls, a place and a name better than the sons of the daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. So here is God's assurance for the eunuchs to be not only in that place of service, but to reward them for the service that they do for the Lord. Just like us, one day at the Bema Seat of Christ, we're going to receive our rewards. Verse 6, also the sons of the foreigner who joined themselves to the Lord and served him, and to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast to my covenant. So here again, God again giving the assurance to the eunuchs as they turn to God. And then he says, notice verse 7. He says, even them, again, I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in the house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Remember, Jesus said that my house is a house of prayer. Verse 8. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel says, yet I will gather to him other besides those who are gathered to him. So here the Lord has a special, notice, interest in who? In sinners, the outcasts. I mean, he didn't come for goody-goody people. He came for the outcasts, sinners, which is so cool. And Israel, and now the Gentiles, verse 9, all you beasts of the field come to devour. All you beasts in the forest. So here, when he uses the word beast here, this is in reference either to Israel or to the enemies of Israel. And we believe he's speaking of Israel. His watchmen are blind, notice. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving slumber. So what he's talking here about is the prophecy concerning the watchmen. Now in that culture, when you had a city, during the day they would open the gates. So people would set up their stands outside to make business, to sell things. But when the sun was going down, they would call everyone to come inside the city and they would shut the gates to secure the city. People would go to their homes, but they had a watchman in every corner of the city wall. They had a shofar, a ram's horn, and they had a sword. Their job, like when I was in the Marine Corps, and when you had guard duty, that's what you did. You protected the place where they set you up to guard. So they would get up, And they would look out. They didn't have infrared at that time, okay? They look into the darkness and they couldn't see anything. But all of a sudden, they see movement. And they're approaching the city. They would take the shofar and they would blow it to wake up the people in the city that were going to be invaded. And they would get up out of their homes, get their weapons, and go up to the walls and defend their city. Here he's talking again to each one of us individually. Are you a true watchman in your life? Are you a good watchman? Are you looking out for the enemy that will come and destroy you? Because the enemy wants to destroy you fully and completely. And the people in the church today are in danger. We are in danger. First of all, we're in danger that people are not studying God's word and that the church is compromising, that the church has become carnal, the church has become, you know, entertaining, and all these things. But to teach the word of God and to study the word of God today is lastly, people don't care about the word of God. Notice what he said there. They are like dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Verse 11. Yes, they are greedy dogs. Notice, speaking of the shepherds that are, you know, on TV always asking for money, which never have enough. Oh, I need more. I want more. So how can I do it? Well, I'm going to fleece the flock of God. And they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way. Notice what he's saying here. They fail not only to pay their tithes, but they take other people's tithes. Isn't that incredible? They take other people's offerings. And usually they're little widows. They are in the social security checks that they come and take away. Sad. He says, everyone for his own gain. Notice, self-gain from his own territory. So here he really brings it up about covetousness to these people that were not only fleecing the flock of God, but people. 12. He says, come. One says, I will bring wine, and we will fill ourselves with intoxicating drink. Tomorrow will be as today and much more abundant. Remember, we spoke about drinking when we started the book of Isaiah. He talked about drunkards. Think of all the Christians today that drink. That drink today. Some of you here drink. And I don't understand when you know, and the reason I never drank is my father was an alcoholic, man. I saw what it does to people. But just medically speaking, when you drink, you're burning brain cells. Plus what? Your liver. Medically. But also, if you're a Christian, how can God speak to you when you don't have a sound mind? A sound mind. I told you before, we'll go out to eat somewhere, Sharon and I, or with Dale, and we'll come in, and there's people from the church drinking. But it's so sad because if I was sitting as a new believer, I saw you in church, and then I saw you at the restaurant, and I see you drinking, you're going to stumble me. And Paul says in the book of Romans that it would be better for you to drink in your home where nobody can see you, because if you make that person stumble, God will hold you responsible for stumbling that person. Pretty heavy. You got to think about that one. Be careful, your children are watching you. You're teaching them. You're teaching them. The Bible says, Paul said in the book of Ephesians, be you not drunk with wine, but be you filled with the Holy Spirit. Be you filled with the Holy Spirit, not with wine or drink. Chapter 57. He says, now here's the rebuke for the wickedness in the days of Isaiah. He says, the righteous perishes. Notice, the righteous is dying. And no man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away here. They're taken away. They're being spared from calamity. Just like the Lord is going to take the church out of here when the tribulation period comes. He has not appointed us to wrath. He's appointed us to be delivered and to be taken to heaven when all hell breaks loose here for 7 years. Look what he says. While no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. Isn't that cool? Taken away from evil. He, the righteous, shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds. each one walking in his uprightness. So here, check this out. You go home, okay, so you're drinking, you're doing whatever it is, but you're coming to church. When you go to bed, do you have peace? Do you have peace? The peace that passes all understanding. Or when you go to bed, do you start feeling not only conviction, you start feeling bad, and you start thinking, man, I should have never done this and that, and you can't really sleep? A person that is obeying God's word has peace and can rest in his sleep. He doesn't have to worry about that because he knows that he is being straight with God. I am being honest with God. And then he says, each one walking in his uprightness. But come here, you sons of the sorcerers, you offspring of the adulterers and the harlots. Notice that. Idolatry, notice unfaithfulness given here. So this is introducing now a contrast between the righteous and the ungodly. And then he says, verse 4, who do Judah ridicule? Against whom do you make a wide mouth and stick out their tongue? Are you not children of the transgression, offspring of the falsehood here? You see, they're doing this to the righteous people. They were sticking their tongues out and saying, too bad you can't do that, because they were persecuting the righteous people. The world does that. They look at you and miss out. You don't know what you're missing. I know what I'm missing, and I know what I'm not missing. Because when I was in the world, I was not happy, and none of you were either. Verse 5, he says, inflaming yourselves with gods under every green tree. Can you believe that? Slain the children in the valleys, under the clefts of the rocks. Remember in Jerusalem, they would put up the god Molech, that statue that was with hands stretched out like this. And there in the valleys in Jerusalem, when you're looking over to the actual city dump, they would burn the treasure. Well, the women would come with their babies, and they would take their babies and put them in the arms of Molech while it was frying red. And fry their babies, consumed by the fire, worshiping other gods. He says here, slain the children in the valleys. Okay, think of how many children have been killed by abortions in the valley of Molech. Nothing's changed. Nothing has changed. But I hope you have changed. And if you've done that before, when you come to Christ, he forgives you for everything. Don't let Satan condemn you. You're free. God forgave you. Verse 6. Among the smooth stones of the stream is your portion. And the word smooth here is slippery. Among the slippery stones of the stream. If your portion, they are your lot. Even to them you have poured a drink offering. You have offered a grain offering. Should I receive comfort in these? And the word where he says you have offered grain offering, that is to Jehovah. Will you take, notice, vengeance upon those who make such offerings, O Lord? Because they will be left in emptiness with their false gods. No one can have any peace or be filled when you worship other gods. He said, I don't worship gods. You worship your car? You worship your bank account? Who do you worship? I mean, we all worship something. It's always good to check your heart. What am I worshiping? Verse 7, on a lofty and high mountain, you have set your bed, notice, even there you went up to offer sacrifices. Isn't that sad? He says, also behind the doors and their posts, you have set up your remembrance, for you have uncovered yourself to those other men than me, and have gone up to them. You have, Judah, enlarged your bed and made a covenant with them. You have loved their bed where you saw their nudity. Here, Judah, talking about this loyalty to God, and the prostitute of religion, instead of coming to God and worshiping God, they were worshiping other gods, committing spiritual adultery. Verse 9, you, Judah, went to the king with ointment and increased your perfumes. You send your messengers far off and even descended to Sheol or hell. You are weary in the length of your ways, yet you did not say there is no hope. No, instead of strengthening themselves in God, they do what? They strain themselves in other gods. Yet you did not say there is no hope. You have found the life of your hand. Notice, because you make idols with your hand. Notice. Therefore, you were not grieved. And of whom you have been afraid or feared, that you have lied and not remembered me, nor hearken or nor taken it to your heart. He said, not because I have held my peace from old, that you do not fear me. Notice, they had no fear of God. And God is saying, you have nothing of fear for me at all. You do whatever you want to do. Verse 12, I will declare you righteousness in your works, for they will not profit you. So the Lord will take and make known, notice, that which is not righteous at all. That which is not righteous at all. Verse 13, and when you cry out, let your collection of idols deliver you. When you get in trouble and you call upon me, pray to your idols. Don't come to me. Don't come to me. Go to your gods. But the wind will carry them all away. God says they're all going to be blown away. A breath will take them. But he who puts his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. Isn't that cool? My holy mountain. Now from verse 14 to 21 here is concerning God's love. He says, and one shall say, heap it up, heap it up. Prepare the way. Take the stumbling block out of the way of my people. He says, for thus saith the Lord, the high and the lofty one, identifying himself, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place. With him who has a contrite and humble spirit. So who does God dwell? Those that have a contrite and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. When God fills us with his Holy Spirit, and he gives us the power through his Holy Spirit. For I will not contend forever. Notice that Jehovah will not continue to reprove in anger forever. There's a time when he'll stop that. For I will not contend forever. Nor will I always be angry, for the spirit would fall before me, the soul which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness, the sins of idolatry, I was angry and struck him. I hid and was angry, and he went on backsliding in the way of his heart. Israel, instead of repenting, they kept backsliding, just like the church today. You got people that keep sliding backwards, but they don't want to come back. Verse 16, I have seen his way. God sees everything. And notice, I will heal him if he comes back. I will also lead him and restore comforts to him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips. Notice, again the invitation. Peace, peace to him who is far off and to him who is near. So here he's inviting to bring sympathy new into existence for the people. He saith the Lord, I will heal him. And then he says, but the wicked are like the troubled seas. Isn't that heavy? When it cannot rest. No rest. Whose waters cast out mire and dirt. It's dirty. When there's a storm, when we surf, the water is brown and there's garbage all over the place too. And then finally, verse 21. There is no peace. Isn't that true? You guys memorize verse 21. There is no peace, saith my God, for the wicked. For the wicked, no peace for the wicked. Father, we thank you so much tonight, Jesus, for your love, for your grace, for your mercies. And Lord, we pray that you continue to move in our hearts and through our lives. And just if there's anybody here tonight that you were invited to come here, I always tell people you can come in one way and you can live totally from here different when you leave here. We never force anybody to come to Christ. The Holy Spirit brings you to Christ. But if there's anybody here tonight that is sick of their lives, you're done with it, and you want to have light in your life and get rid of the darkness, you want to have peace in your life, you want to have your name inserted in the book of life so that you can live forever and ever with Jesus Christ. And take your sins, he's going to cast them as far to the east and the west and bury them in the deepest part of the ocean and never again remember them. I'm going to worship one song. If you want to come and you want to go to heaven, I want you to get up out of your seat, young, old, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. And you come up here to the front, and I'm going to pray with you when you come. Father, we're so thankful for these that have come forward, Lord. That I pray for them, and I pray, God, that you touch them, Lord. Father, those watching through the internet too, we pray for them, Lord. Those of you that have come forward, pray with me this prayer. Ask Christ to come into your hearts, okay? Pray with me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to cleanse me, to wash me by your blood. And I receive you tonight as my Lord and my Savior. Baptize me with your Holy Spirit and with your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give you a Bible, you guys. See right over there? Go right over. They're going to give you a Bible, okay? Awesome.